This is the moment you've all been waiting for.
DC and RC.
Welcome to a brand new episode of DC.
Coming to you from Lafayette, Louisiana.
It's DC and RC.
Hailing from Marrero, Louisiana.
It's fight night. Catch your right hook in your right eye. Change how you look. Daniel, call me, yeah. And Ryan Clark, the champs are here. With battle scars, it's warfare. Louisiana's in the air. From Marrero to Lafayette to Los Angeles to Times Square.
I could go one show without you going, I'm a Super Bowl champ.
When the mic's on, it's showtime. DC and RC, we winning Super Bowls and Emmys. And Daniel got two belts around the belly.
UFC history! Daniel Cormier!
Hey, I'm DC, two division champ. I ran the UFC.
Because we asking all the tough questions.
This guy's the worst, RC. I don't know how you can do a show with
DC, you broke my heart.
This is MMA, mixed martial all stars. And we got that grind and pound, so be on guard. Around, cause we want it all, but there can only be one in the octagon. DC and RC, DC and RC, DC and RC, ESPN, tune in to see.
What's up, guys? Welcome to a brand new episode of DC and RC. I'm Daniel Cormier. That's my man, Ryan Clark. RC. Football season is wrapping up, my guy. What you gonna do with all the time you're about to have when the season ends? Because right now you're running at 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, well, first off, I'm gonna take a freaking nap. And I'm gonna come catch me some UFC events, bro. You know, the offseason, I actually get to see my dog in person. I get to see some great fights, man. So we'll do that. I'm gonna take a little break, go hang out with Jordan in Indiana and South Bend when it warms up a little bit. But this week, bro, I'm headed to the Pro Bowl. Got more work to do.
Absolutely. And little Jay Clark going to be in Miami for UFC 299. Yeah. He said he wanted to go. It is on his father now to make that happen. Guys, coming up on the show.
It's already done.
We're going to talk about Conor McGregor. It's already done. Already done. We're going to talk about Conor McGregor. We're going to talk about Kayla Harrison now being in the UFC. And also, we're going to tap in and tap out. But, Ryan, as Conor does so many times, he can put something as simple as a tweet, and it builds all this excitement. He said, McGregor on 300 seals the deal. Michael Chandler then replies, I accept. See you soon. RC, I got to be honest, RC. Michael Chandler, the boy thirsty, man. The boy thirsty.
He's like, yo. Like, do you have Conor's tweets favorited? You know what I'm saying? Like, are they pinned? Like, does every time Conor McGregor tweet, Michael Chandler get it first? Is Michael Chandler Conor McGregor's ghost tweet writer? You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't even seen a tweet, DC, until I saw Michael Chandler's tweet. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even, does Conor call him and tell him, he finna tweet, like, God, okay, like, bro, like, he gotta stop. It's like being, like, liking a chick on Instagram, and no matter what she posts, you like it and comment with hard eyes. Like, come on, dog. You gotta stop it.
RC is like, Chandler, like, wants to make sure he's the first to comment before somebody else gets in there. So I get what he's doing. But it's nuts, right? Because McGregor just keeps seeming to pull Mike's strings, our strings, and look, I'm just joking, Mike. You know, like, this has become a thing I like to make fun of you for, how bad you want to fight McGregor. It's all good. But listen, what is the likelihood, though, that they do fight? Okay, it is true, Ryan. Hey, you can make jokes and they can be true at the same time. Because right now, it is thirsty. My boy is parched. He finally going to get his heat. Look, dude, it honestly is, like you said, RC, the guy that loves the video vixen will finally get his opportunity to date that video vixen. It seems likely now that these guys are going to fight. But how likely is it that it headlines UFC 300?
You know, it doesn't seem that Conor is in a place, far as his conditioning and where he is, ready to start a camp sometime soon. But I guess it could happen. I mean, as long as everything with USADA is straight and Conor McGregor is healthy, then this is a fight that can take place. And the only reason I give it some hope, because I don't even necessarily believe in that Conor's ever truly going to fight again, but we did have John Jones lay off for 3 years, is because we don't have that fight yet. We have a fight card. Mm-hmm. We don't have that fight. And Conor McGregor, whether a belt is at stake or not, especially as after a layoff, is that fight because he's that name.
And it feels like you have to have that type of fight at the top of UFC 300. But I'm going to tell you one thing, man. I got some ideas in my mind as to what I think or hope UFC 300 main event will be. I don't know if it'll come to fruition, but I do believe that it won't be McGregor. It won't be. I don't think it'll be McGregor Chandler. I think it'll be something different, but I do believe that these guys will fight now. Before, I didn't think for a second that Michael Chandler would get that fight against Conor McGregor, but I do believe now that they'll get it. And what I will say about UFC 300, it's missing a big fight. That big fight that it's missing has to have a backstory. That big fight has to have bad blood. That big fight has to bring the eyeballs. So it can't be Bilal Muhammad and Leon Edwards because it just doesn't have enough to it. While it's a fantastic fight, it doesn't have enough to it.
Like, that's just like a regular fan fight. Yeah, like Leon Bilal Muhammad is like the fight that's supposed to take place because both of these fighters have done what they need to do in the octagon to make the fight take place. But it isn't everybody's rushing out of their homes. Everyone's rushing to ESPN Plus to pay for pay-per-view to see these two dudes at that event. That isn't, that's not the sort of names you need for that event. I mean, honestly, before you watch that, I'll watch freaking Conor McGregor fight Jake Gyllenhaal. I saw the Roadhouse trailer. Jake,
that's right.
Jake Gyllenhaal is ripped up, bro. Like he is.
ARC, we actually did his fight scene in the UFC. We voiced it.
I was
it.
There.
But I was gonna ask you that about McGregor. Yes, you were. You actually were. But I got a question. How much does that play into maybe McGregor not fighting at UFC 300? Because if I remember correctly, Roadhouse comes out next month. You know when these movies come out, there's tours. Conor seems to be a big part of the movie. If he is, Ryan, that would only leave him 2 months to prepare for UFC 300. And if he's preparing today, it would mean he would have to go on to the media tour to help promote the movie. Yeah. He's one of the biggest stars in the movie.
Yeah.
How much does that factor in?
I just want to see him say.
Oh, that my belief.
You never let anyone get this close. That's what I want to see him say, DC. I want to see him say.
You want to see
him? I want to see him say, you never let anyone get this close. Woo, I'm so fired up, boy. I see you guys are having a smashing night. I've watched that trailer so many times, bro. I'm so fired up. I cannot
wait. I haven't even seen it. I haven't even seen the trailer.
DC, do you remember the first one when Dalton fought Jimmy at the end by the lake and he pulled Jimmy's larynx out and then he dragged Jimmy across the water to old boy house? I cannot wait. Dude. I'm so fired up, bro. And then to see what Jake Gyllenhaal just slapping the piss out of people and he not even punching them. He's just yum, yum, yum. Okay, I'm sorry. This is a UFC show. This is not even
this dude
a movie
is crazy.
Show.
Hey, you know what's funny? Whew. Now I can see why you played the way you played because you're an absolute psychopath. And I don't care how much you smile and how many nice suits you wear. You are an absolute madman. He said he pulled his larynx out and you were all excited because the dude got killed. It's like you're a psychopath.
He's fired up.
You're an absolute psychopath.
DC, freaking, it's going to be a great movie. But back to what we were saying. I freaking forgot. I just got so hyped, man. I'm sweating. Woo. Oh, Jesus.
RC.
I'm sweating here.
Now, we talked about Michael Chandler kind of wants to respond first because he doesn't want the UFC or anyone to get any ideas. This is why he's so quick on the trigger. Nate Diaz also responded to Conor McGregor saying, I can't see that on my my screen there. It's too far. I don't know. And I'm getting older. He said four, right?
He said fight number four. Real war. So real war.
Real war. Okay. So RC, real war for fight number three. It's their, it would be their third fight. Here's why Michael Chandler was is so quick on the trigger. Because if he lets people get excited about Diaz versus McGregor, that has the ability to jump him. And that should be scary to a guy like Michael Chandler.
So I'd rather see McGregor fight Michael Chandler, especially after watching Nate Diaz, especially after watching Nate Diaz fight Jake Paul. And after Nate Diaz did the double punch, I was through with Nate Diaz. I'm out on Nate. I'm out on Diaz for the rest of his fighting career. But when you look at those two names, Nate Diaz and Conor McGregor, especially with Conor McGregor having the sort of layoff we saw him have, why wouldn't you make this fight if it's the UFC? It's going to be a great build-up to the fight. There's actual bad blood, or at least seemingly bad blood, between these two men, and they are two real-life tough guys. If I'm Michael Chandler, I'm extremely nervous if Nate Diaz is making a bid for this fight, because if I'm Dana White and if I'm Mick Maynard, I'm sitting at the UFC offices on that big board that the Pivot put out there bad is saying, if we can make that fight for 300, people show up and people buy it.
You know, that's why I disagree. And no knock on Mike, but being on UFC 200, right? When John and I got announced as the main event, it was massive. We went to Good Morning America and everything. But as I told you before, it was when Brock got put on there. It was something a little bit outside of the box that made it feel like it was something extraordinary. I believe that while we don't have as many of those attractions left in the UFC, Conor is one. And regardless of who he would fight, the attraction comes with him. But if McGregor fights Diaz, that is what I believe draws the general fan in as much as anything that they could do in the UFC right now. Just because of Nate Diaz and the intrigue, the way the first fight played out, the way the second fight played out, it is still two of the highest grossing pay-per-views in UFC history. These two men, when you put them together, make a lot of money. And it is far enough out there to be considered an attraction. Because I also believe, Ryan, that at this point in their careers, right? Sure, Nate Diaz isn't the guy that he was before. He's not the guy that fought the most beautiful striking exhibit against Michael Johnson in Florida, where he went and said, Conor McGregor, you're taking everything I work for and a whole bunch of cuss words. He's not that same guy, but neither is Conor McGregor. This isn't the guy that knocked out Jose Aldo no more. This is a new fighter. This is a guy that is not as good as he was back then because of all the things that have happened in life afterwards. But when you put them two together right now at the state and at the part of their career that they're in right now, then you have that type of fight. If I'm being completely honest with you, Ryan, while I want Michael Chandler as a friend to get his fight and get his payback and get his payday, I think Michael Chandler, and I hope I don't this doesn't come out the wrong way, I think Michael Chandler is actually stepping back to fight Conor McGregor. I think that Michael Chandler is leaving the elite of that division right now and stepping back to fight Conor. He's really choosing the name and the money over competition, because I do believe that there are bigger fights for Mike for where he is in his career opposed to where Conor is in his career.
Daniel Aloysius Cormier, Jr. That is the biggest piece of bull malarkey you have ever spewed from your face.
What do you mean?
And
what part?
The disgust I have in my soul right now is, question, is Michael Chandler up for a championship fight right now?
No, but Ryan, he's still fighting in the championship level.
Okay, can I finish? Now, if he was to fight somebody, it's not going to be Gaethje. They didn't offer him Poirier again. We know he's not going to get Charles Oliveira again, right? We have all of these other fighters that are ascending ahead of him, Armand Sarukian, all of these guys, right? Mm-hmm. Now, let's take that group of people and say, you're not going to fight any of them, which means you're going to fight someone that's outside of the top five, which in truth is not going to put you in a position to get a title fight in your next meeting. So, if it's not going to do that, why would you not fight the biggest name in all of fighting? Because if you win it, you are no worse off than you were before taking the fight. But here is what you are. You're more dang popular. Here is what you are. Mm. You are way dang richer. If you lose, you still get the money, though, DC. But DC, if you lose to the number 10 fighter, if you lose to the number 10 fighter, that ain't going to do nothing. Like, there's a risk in taking the fight anyway. So why not take the risk with the biggest name, with the biggest purse, the biggest opportunity to become more of a superstar, rather than fighting somebody that's out of the top five, who's probably younger, who's probably hungrier, who can find a way to whip you, and now you got two Willy Lump Lumps on your head, you took a L, mm-hmm. and you ain't get the bread. Come on, DC.
RC, I'm telling you that Michael Chandler still has championship ideas in his mind. And competitively, he is taking a step back, because reality is this. When you watch who Dustin's fighting now, right? Benoit Saint-Denis. When you see who Charles Oliveira's fighting now and Armand Sarukian, there is still Fazeev out there. If you fight Fazeev and you beat Fazeev, now you're back on a short list, because no fight is going to get him a title fight right now. But there are fights that are going to get him closer. And I believe that those are the fights competitively that would move him closer to a championship opportunity. I'm just saying to you that unless you are ready to let go of those championship goals, then fighting Conor, it really is just financial. And there's nothing wrong with that, because there's only one person who can go into that fight between those two, Ryan, and truly put himself on the short list to fight for a championship. And that's Conor McGregor. Because if Conor wins and Conor beats Michael Chandler, who is now still in the top five, he will start to say, I deserve a title fight, regardless of what happened between him and Dustin Poirier. But if Chandler wins, he will not be able to go and say, I want a title fight. Go ahead, Ryan.
This is a question for Jake and Daniel, because I think I know the answer, but I don't remember for sure. Who did Dustin Poirier fight after fighting Conor McGregor two times in a row?
He lost to Charles.
He fought Charles Oliveira, DC. He fought Charles Oliveira after he beat Conor McGregor, DC. Your argument holds no weight, because you're saying fighting Conor McGregor and
it does, RC, because guess what? We are talking about a Conor McGregor that, when Dustin beat him, remember, RC, he had just came off of fighting Khabib for the belt, and he took another break, lost to him in Abu Dhabi, and then he fought him again. And then Dustin Poirier had fought Khabib for the belt and then lost. So they fought each other. So you had two guys that had just fought for the championship. I'm speaking, RC, about the Conor McGregor today that's not the one that left to go box as a champion, that came back and lost to the number one pound-for-pound fighter in the world. I'm talking about a Conor McGregor that's lost two in a row now. I don't think that gets your title
DC, fight. But you just said yourself, no fight is going to get Michael Chandler a title fight right now. And I don't care who Conor McGregor has lost to. If Conor McGregor fights Michael Chandler right now, he becomes a bigger star than what he is at this moment that already has this incredibly entertaining fighting style. Beating Conor McGregor would be bigger than beating anybody outside of the top five. And on the other side of that, you're wrong. Conor McGregor had come off of fighting like Cowboy Cerrone or somebody like that
before he fought Dustin Poirier.
But it was Cowboy. DC, what you're saying makes zero sense. Michael Chandler.
It does.
Because it didn't. And Michael Chandler hasn't fought for ever waiting on Conor. So you're going to tell him to wait on Conor and then go take a fight with you fight Conor, period, point blank. If you fight Conor, your next fight is in the top five. If you go fight Fazeev, your next fight is in the top five. You know why? Because you deserve to fight in the top five anyway, because you were in the top five.
But RC, you are missing the point. You are saying that Michael Chandler is going to be more popular. RC, tell me some of these other dudes. Tell me some of these other dudes that have lost to Conor McGregor that are massive stars. The only ones that truly elevate are the ones that win, and that's no given. Donald Cerrone's no bigger today than he was before he fought McGregor. Jose Aldo didn't get bigger because he shared the octagon with Conor McGregor when losing. I would say, or see that Jose Aldo
knocked Jose Aldo out in 13 seconds. That's when he really became Conor McGregor. That is not a valid argument. We're talking about who Conor McGregor is. And what we're saying, DC, but I'm trying to tell you, if he fights anybody outside the top five, which they don't seem willing to give him right now, he's taking a step back. So if you're going to take a step back, why not take a step back with the biggest name that there's ever been in combat sports? If you win, you could lose a fight to somebody in the bottom half of the top 10, DC.
I'm not saying, RC, I'm not saying that there are not valid reasons to take the fight. I agree with you. I agree with you of all the positives. My point is, competitively, he's going backwards and taking a much bigger risk than he would by fighting Fazeev or one of those other young, or Gamrot, or what about Gamrot? One of those dudes who
can beat him.
Do you expect Michael Chandler? Yes, but do you expect Michael Chandler to beat right now? And I don't really like to ask you to make predictions, but Michael Chandler versus Gamrot, he'd probably be an underdog. Michael Chandler versus Fazeev,
yes,
it would be very close, or he might be an underdog. Against Conor McGregor, he will be expected to win. Because you gain more when you beat somebody you're not supposed to beat. You gain more when you beat somebody you're not supposed to beat. Go ahead.
I've never seen the number two team in the country move up to the number one team in the country because you beat the number 10 team in the country. That's not the way it works, DC.
Conor's not number one.
I'm saying if Michael Chandler beats Fazeev, it's not going to move him up in the rankings any. It's not going to push him closer to being a champion. DC.
Yes, it
you
will.
You know how it works.
It will push him much closer than beating Conor.
That's not true. That's not true.
Oh.
We have seen number five fight number one for a championship if number five's name is warranted enough and we've cleared out two through four. We've seen that before, DC. He doesn't have to go beat Fazeev to get there. If it's his time in that spot, he's going to get the opportunity. Saying that he should go fight Fazeev or Gamrot over Conor McGregor is crazy. Saying that it puts him in a better position for a championship is crazy.
It absolutely does. It absolutely does. Because here's the deal, bro. You said it's going to be hard for him. Well, he's already lost to Poirier. He's already lost to Oliveira. He's already lost to Gaethje. He's already lost to the three dudes in front of him. The only one he has not lost to is Sarukian. If you fight Conor and you win, because we've seen it, right? Khabib went, gained 8 million Instagram followers. Dustin Poirier gained 3. If you win, but if you don't, You're just another guy that lost to Conor McGregor. And that there, Ryan, is where the problem lies. Because if you just lose, then what?
Okay. Okay. Wait. I have a question for you. Question. Michael Chandler's rising star. Reasons we love Michael Chandler. Do we love Michael Chandler more for kicking Tony Ferguson in the face or for fighting Justin Gaethje and Dustin Poirier in absolute wars and losing?
But that's the thing, right? You're talking about a perspective that's not... You may appreciate that more, but you also may appreciate that he gets called the modern day mixed martial arts Arturo Gatti. When to me, Daniel Cormier, I get the reference, but to me, that is not as glowing a referral or reference as most people think it is. Because to me, for as good as Arturo Gatti was, when he fought the elite of the elite, he never got it done because he wasn't at that level. So what did he do? He made fights fun. He made a lot of money. He did his thing, but he didn't do his thing at the highest level. I am telling you, Michael Chandler has designs of being a champion.
I have a question for you.
You can't be both. You can't be Arturo Gatti and be the champion. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Question, and I know this is going to be hard for you, and you can answer it, and I can't. Excuse me. Is Michael Chandler good enough to be the champion at 155?
That's a hard one. But I'm giving you an honest. I'm gonna give you an honest answer. It's a hard one. Listen, RC. It's a hard one because you tell me no. Because in the moment that he had the opportunity, he was about 30 seconds away from finishing Charles Oliveira. So that tells me, that he is championship level because he had him, he took him down, he beat him and won the first round. He looked like he about was going to finish him. Is he championship level? I believe it. Do I believe that he matches up well with the current champion? I don't. I mean, obviously we've seen him with these other guys. I know that it could be tough. But we also are just finishing, Ryan, a reign of Sean Strickland. We are also starting a reign with Drakus Duplessis. We are starting a reign right now, Ryan, with Raquel Pennington as the champion of the world. How can you tell me when looking at Michael Chandler and the guys that he has fought that he doesn't have that ability if he sets that as his main focus? I'm telling you.
All of those guys are still there. All of those guys are still there. You know he can't beat Islam. You know he can't. He can't.
But RC.
He's already lost to the other three. He probably can't beat Arman Tsarukyan. Why are you trying to?
But RC.
No, you know one of the greatest things about Michael Chandler is that he's a great freaking human. Like, honestly, like if you're raising a daughter, you say to yourself, could you go find you a Michael Chandler or a Russell Wilson? Like, that's what you're asking for right now, right? If your daughter brings home some freaking schlub, right, some freaking no good, rotten ankle biter, right, I'm going to tell her, hey, look, babe, when I was raising you, I was raising you to find a Michael Chandler or a Russell Wilson. That is what you're here for. That is what daddy was trying to show you, okay? And so he's a great man, right? Along with that, he's adopted these two beautiful children, has a wonderful wife. You know what's sad about you, DC? You trying to take food off of those kids' plate. You trying to take
food
off of Michael Chandler's wife's plate with your hate, DC. With your hate. On some championship aspirations can't be fulfilled if you beat Conor McGregor. No one's ever said that ever. Ever in life.
Bro,
was Dustin Poirier like, I can't fight for a championship if I beat Conor McGregor.
No,
and then after he beat him, instead of trying to fight for a championship, he fought him again, Daniel. He fought him again.
RC, I'm trying to tell you, I'm just giving you an alternate way of looking at this. I'm just giving you what I am telling you competitively. Sure. It could work out for Mike, and I would love that. But don't you dare, I swear to God, you stop with your rotten mouth trying to make it seem like I'm trying to take money from Michael Chandler and his beautiful family. You stop it right now. But here's the deal. I just
think
there are a lot of layers to this thing.
Corporate Jake. Okay, Corporate Jake, dial in right now. I don't know if they can hear Corporate Jake. Corporate Jake, I would like for you to be a part of this as well. Corporate Jake produces our show. Corporate Jake, am I right or wrong in remembering Daniel Cormier offering up Conor McGregor for the champion Islam Makhachev at one point?
That is correct.
Jake, what'd you say, Jake? I want the people to be able to hear you, Jake.
That is correct.
Jake, can I have you say that Daniel Cormier did indeed try to tap Conor McGregor as the next opponent for Islam Makhachev, the 155-pound champion? Can I get you to say that, please, Jake?
On this program, Daniel Cormier did offer up Conor McGregor as the next opponent for the champion Islam Makhachev.
Would I be wrong, Corporate Jake, in saying it seems strange to me that Conor McGregor could be good enough to fight for the actual championship, but is not good enough to fight if you have championship aspirations? Am I wrong, Corporate Jake, in thinking that to be a strange line of thinking?
Corporate Jake? You are not wrong. No.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Thank you.
Wait. We've gone 2.5 years, and now I think I might. The first debate that Ryan and I have had that he finally might have done well and possibly won. He doesn't really win. But here's the beauty in the show being called DC and RC is now we're moving on. Because I don't want to talk about this no more. It's like I'm done. I'm taking my football and I'm going home. I'm taking my football and I'm going home. Corporate Jake, it's time to do a list of the greatest fight movies of all time. We moving on. Let's go.
All right, guys. So obviously you guys talked about Roadhouse earlier. Connor in the new remake of Roadhouse. So I figured this is a perfect time for you guys to list your top five favorite combat movies of all time. Daniel Cormier, you can go first.
At number five, I got a bit of a tie. I've got Vision Quest. I've got Corporate Jake. Put my list up, man, so I can see the bottom one. I got Vision Quest.
My list now.
I got Nacho Libre, and I got Rocky III. All has to do with wrestling. Nacho Libre, Jack Black, the great wrestler. Rocky III. Thunder Lips was in there, Hulk Hogan, and Mr. T was the man. And also Vision Quest is the greatest amateur wrestling movie of all time. At number four, Bruce Lee.
Never heard of
Into the Dragon. Let me tell you something. Into the Dragon was a movie that everybody in the hood had. Everybody had a videotape of Into the Dragon. And we would watch it on repeat, constantly watching Bruce Lee just be amazing. Yes.
That's not like a, Jake, you go ahead. Just keep going. Go ahead.
All right. Number three, The Wrestler with Mickey Rourke. Ryan, I thought he did a phenomenal job.
Great movie.
Unfortunately, great movie. To me, it felt like they were telling the story of the great Ric Flair, who I love so much. A guy that just hung around far too long. At number two, one of the greatest fight movies of all time, Warrior. Warrior. Written by the great Gavin O'Connor, the producer. Just a fantastic man and a fantastic mind for fighting. Warrior was a great movie. And Warriors, the television series, will be coming your way soon. At number one, Rocky. Once you get past the fact that Rocky starts a little bit slow and you got to get into the story of who Sylvester Stallone or Rocky was at the beginning, it is storytelling in the highest form. You have never seen a movie like Rocky, especially when it revolves around fighting in RC. Before I give you your list, the reason I put Rocky number one, because last week I went to Philadelphia with my wrestling team. I was tasked with getting the Airbnb. Normally, Cassandra does that. I was tasked with that this time. Know that the street that Rocky was running on on South Dover was where the Airbnb was. And luckily, the junkies in the neighborhood were very, very nice. So don't ever let me book the travel anymore because it was a bad neighborhood. But yes, that's my list.
I can't believe Cassandra went on vacation. First off, I feel like Enter the Dragon didn't have any actual sort of organized fighting scenes for money, albeit anything like that, or for a championship. And I asked Jake about using alternative fighting movies. So at number five, I'm going Bloodsport. And the reason I'm going Bloodsport is because Jean-Claude Van Damme played an American man with the accent he already has. The things we let that man do. At number four, I'm going Hurricane. Denzel Washington.
Oh,
I think this is
one
of Denzel Washington's best movies, one that we don't talk about enough. At number three, I got Warrior. You had Warrior at number two. I think that's an amazing movie. At number two, Million Dollar Baby, bro, with Hilary Swank.
Hold
that
on.
Movie.
Too sad. Too sad. RC, but I left.
Great movie.
I left feeling horrible, but I left feeling horrible. I don't want to leave a movie theater feeling that bad. Like, think about, like, you're sad when you leave. You don't want to do that. You want to go for enjoyment.
Yeah.
Love the movie, but too sad.
I don't think I actually saw it in the theaters. This is probably why I like it. And the number one, Rocky, Rocky III, and Rocky IV. They are all on my list.
What?
I think I agree with everything you said about the first Rocky. Rocky III, I love Clubber Lang. I love the Hulk Hogan scene. And Rocky IV is what I used to put on when it was time for me to train, because I envisioned that I had to just work out in the barn, and I had to do shoulder press with my wife and shoulder press with my trainer, and I had to run through the snow, and Russian people was in Mercedes Benzes with chains on their tires, and then the Russian was shooting steroids in his booty, running around the track, punching the things, and talking about if he dies, he dies. And like the and the part I love too was when he cut him. He said, "You cut him. He's a man. He's not a machine.
He's a man.
He's not a machine.
He's a man." Woo. Hey, dude, that brother that played that role was the man. But RC, guess what? Lil Daniel went through the entire Rocky series over Christmas break and told me of all of them, Rocky IV was the worst. He actually told me some. I was so taken, dude, because he thought
the
one with
Rocky
Tommy
with
Morrison.
Tommy Gunn?
Yes, yeah. He thought it was better with. He thought the Rocky with Tommy Gunn was better than Rocky IV. It's the craziest thing. I cannot understand the thinking. And for the first time, I looked at my son and I said, "Son, I don't know if I get you. I don't know if I get you after these 12 years. And I just, for the first time, I don't know if I get you, little Dan. I don't get
DC,
it."
That's he what made you me tell tap him. Out. I'm disappointed in you. I'm disappointed in you. Let's go, man. Let's tap in and tap out.
It's time to tap in.
All right, guys. Last week, RC stated that the UFC women's bantamweight division should go away since it has no real competition. Well, Dana announced last week Kayla Harrison has signed with the promotion and will fight Holly Holm at UFC 300. RC, tap in or tap out. Kayla's signing helps the women's bantamweight division of the UFC.
I tap in because if Kayla Harrison beats Holly Holm, Amanda Nunes will come out of retirement and fight her next. So I totally tap in on Kayla Harrison now being a part of the UFC bantamweight division.
You know, it's crazy, RC, because you got a lot of people, like, agreeing with you on that. And I laugh like you were wrong. A lot of people kind of were in line with you. I believe that I tap in that she's there. I just wonder if we go right back into another Amanda Nunes situation where you just have a real dominant champion over a division that doesn't seem to have the depth to really challenge her. But yeah, I tap in. It's great that she's here.
So what I do think happens though, DC, because obviously we can't sort of evade the fact that Raquel Pennington is the champ right now. Kayla Harrison beats Holly Holm, fights for the championship. It's not that Amanda Nunes comes back to reign. It's that you give that weight class a fight everybody wants to see, at least, before you figure out what happens with it in the future.
Tom Aspinall is still waiting for his chance at the Undisputed Heavyweight title. However, he is open to defending his interim title versus the winner of Curtis Blaydes and Jalton Almeida. DC, tap in or tap out, Aspinall defending his interim heavyweight championship.
I tap in because I get to watch him fight. I mean, we have not seen someone defend an interim championship since Henan Barral did way back in the day. I mean, interim championships don't generally get defended, but I do love the idea that this kid doesn't want to just sit on the sideline and waste away without a fight. So I tap in. Yeah, defend that thing.
Yeah, I tap in, and I don't care about defending the title or not or whatever happens. Tom Aspinall needs to fight. Tom Aspinall needs to continue his career, and he can't sit around and allow his career or opportunities to be dictated by John Jones and Stipe Miocic.
All right, guys, Themba Garimbo is back in action this weekend. He became known when his video with Dwayne The Rock Johnson went viral, where after sharing a similar story, The Rock bought Themba a new house. RC, tap in or tap out, Themba has one of the best stories to follow in MMA.
I tap in that the story is one that has been publicized and one of the publicized stories that's best to follow. But in seeing where some of these guys come from, man, you're starting to learn that the UFC and mixed martial arts is much like boxing was for our culture, that some people had to turn to that in order to get out of some of the circumstances that they have lived in, that they grew up in. And so I love his story. It's one of the best stories, not only in mixed martial arts, but in sports overall. But also, let's not forget all of the other people that come from similar circumstances.
Absolutely. I tap in. Great story. And you really do root for a person that goes through that. Like, we know what Francis went through to become who he is today. And that's a story of ultimate success. But you got to win. You know, for as good as Thimba's story is, you have to win fights. Because ultimately, if you don't, then you just kind of go back to being a story. And that cannot be the story in regards to your career. Great story, but he needs to win.
I guess ahead of his BMF title fight at UFC 300, Max Holloway spoke to Brett Okamoto and had some words for our very own Daniel Cormier.
I mean, I've been trying to get, I mean, the baddest man on the planet is not, it's still not out of reach, you know, like maybe DC come back for 400 or something. We both can like be retired and come out of retirement for UFC 400. Cause I don't know if I'm going to be around for that, but you know, at the end of the day, I guess the next best thing is fighting one of his favorite golfing partners in Justin Gaethje, you know, a real BMF, a guy who really wants to fight. So, you know, kudos to Justin. Justin's the man for this. And then again, Daniel needs to rethink his life.
All right, DC, tap in or tap out UFC 400 against Max Holloway for daddest man on the planet.
No, I'm out, man. But I don't know what Max talking about. Max has one of my favorite golfing buddies. Max is one of my favorite people in the world. Who doesn't love Jerome? Max Holloway, what am I going to be, 60? Hey, look at that. That's my weigh-in result from my most recent fight. I mean, dang. Look at that. Jeez.
DC, kick Max's you don't butt. Have one ab, bro. I mean, not one ab in totality right there, bro. But I tap out on my boy DC fighting at UFC 400. We're going to be somewhere chilling Friday night before, and then we'll be at the fight for 400. He'll be working, and yeah. I'm going to be sitting with Glenn up at the top in the suite.
All right, guys, lastly, a little feel-good story. Jaldon Almeida took part in a charity MMA match down in Brazil against a fighter with Down syndrome. Almeida got submitted and then celebrated with the young fighter afterwards. Just wanted to showcase another feel-good moment in our sport.
Yeah, man, I think
it's awesome.
Like, these are the moments that should get more attention, to be honest. You never know what act it is that adds to someone's life, makes someone's day, allows them to feel like more of a part of the world than they get to on most days. I think this is an amazing story. And to take your time out and to do all that went into this and celebrate with this young man, I think just it makes you want great things for Almeida as well.
You know, when you see stories like this, you see the human that is the fighter, right? We know that Jailton Almeida, he cares not only about himself and his career, but also his community and the people around him. You don't know how you can uplift someone. So when you have time, take a moment. You know, we live these big lives. When a person comes up to you, ask for a photo or an autograph, you don't know what that means to them. So for Jailton to do that and make that kid's dream, that kid won't ever have another MMA fight.
Man.
But he will always live through everything that Jailton Almeida achieves inside the octagon. One of the most beautiful moments I've seen in a really long time. RC, what an amazing show we had today, but
good
not
time,
as good
bro.
As the Detroit Lions sending everybody home at halftime and the 49ers just coming back. When I got off the plane, I saw all kind of Lions fans inside the airport, and I was like, yo, y'all, what happened? What was the score? I just landed. I almost got beat in there.
Hey, you said you almost got jumped. Eminem would have been pissed off had he seen you. But, hey, thank you guys for rocking with us. I beat DC not only in the list, but in our debate about fighting Conor McGregor. Catch us anywhere you get your podcast and at midnight on ESPN2. Thank you guys so much for tuning in.